Geeky Girl Gap Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Geeky Girl Gab. I'm Candace, and with me are my co-host, Bree.
Hey.
And Vanessa.
Hello.
And today's topic is overused tropes in TV and movies, and even books. So a trope is kind of like a plot device or a stereotype or something that just is repetitively happens. And when I brought up this topic, Vanessa and Bray brought up something even better, is that a lot of these tropes have been disappearing and we're getting more diversity and we're getting a lot of new stories. But should we start with the manic pixie dream girl?
I think we should, because that was like the first thing that came up when we started talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the manic pixie dream girl started with Elizabeth Town with Kirsten Dunst's character. And pretty much it's a woman that the screenwriter, usually written by a male screenwriter. And this woman is crazy. She's insane. She's beautiful, but she's kind of like mysterious, but weird. And she always seems to heal this broken man just by being this weird girl. And it's something that you see Zooey Deschanel play a lot. And it was something that just like kind of bothered me, just mostly because like I don't think a person should heal you. Like being in a relationship shouldn't fix you.
Yeah, but so I would be interested in knowing like which characters in particular you're thinking of when you think of this trope.
Okay, so did you guys watch Garden State?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Garden State is like Natalie Portman's character. He's in a depression and she, you know, brings him out of it. It's, people say it's Holly Golightly Audrey mm-hmm. Hepburn's character in Breakfast at Tiffany's. You know, she's all, mm-hmm. she's an odd one, but she's beautiful and she's just, these people.
Yeah, and, but what's your issue with that? Like, I just want to know, like, what your exact issue is with them. Because, I know the whole, like, the whole stereotype is the fact that, yes, like, they're just, like, supposed to be, like, elevating the male character and, like, but I don't mm-hmm. see it that way. So I want to see, like, what you see it as.
I see it, okay, so, it's been defined, one of film critic, Nathan Robbins, coined the term, and he says that they exist solely in the fevered imagination of sensitive writer-directors to teach broodingly soulful young men to embrace life and its infinite mysteries and adventures. And pretty much, the character's not created for any purpose other than to move the man forward.
But see,
that's what bothers me. She had more character, and more depth.
Sorry, go ahead, Bree.
No, yeah. Go ahead. It's okay.
So I get what you mean by the whole, like, if she had more character or whatever, and it's not, like, to move the male forward, but, like, this character stereotype to me is never that. Like, when it comes to, like, Breakfast at Tiffany's or, like, some of the other ones that they do for this, which is, I had a couple of them. Hold on, sorry, there's like a ton of them which I didn't realize until now. Katharine Hepburn and Bringing Up Baby and like all these like different ones, like it feels like these women who have like already come into themselves and like been okay with themselves for so long that's why the men in their lives, the ones that they meet, are able to elevate themselves, is because like these characters have already figured out who they are and they're so okay with it that they are able to bring these men up. And that's why I've always loved them. Like, I love these kinds of characters because like for me, like it's been something that like I wanted to be. Like, I wanted to be Holly Golightly, like not, you know, not like the prostitute aspect, but like just like the fact that it's like I wanted to be somebody who knew who they were, who was okay with it, and literally was just like living their life the way that they wanted, and like they still might have like hopes and dreams and everything that might not come to surface during the movie, but like it's still just something that is captivating in a way where you're just like, yeah, like I want to be that okay with myself and that like honest with myself. Like that's always been like, these kind of characters have always spoken to me because of that.
Well, the characters you describe, I haven't really seen. And the only reason that I personally don't like them is because, again, like I said,
Have you ever seen Breakfast at Tiffany's?
No, I have. But I'm talking about the more recent ones, like the Natalie Portman in Garden State, Zooey Deschanel in Yes Men, and even like 500 Days of Summer actually kind of deconstructs it and shows the dangers of a relationship like that. Like Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character imposes like his ideal of summer. And that's why their relationship doesn't work in the end.
Well, yeah, that's just one movie though. And like that one movie is showing the dangers of it. But like also he was liking her for all the wrong reasons. You know what I mean? That's why like in Breakfast at Tiffany's, that's why it didn't end properly. You know what I mean? It didn't end on a quote unquote, like what, happy note, I guess. But like, like Vanessa was saying, I love Holly Golightly. She's like so in tune with herself. And like, I feel like what you're talking about is some of like the lesser, like more capable writers, you know, are using women as
props, really.
Yeah. Like that's on in certain movies. So I think it's just a balance of like how to use or not to use these women as just props, you know what I mean? And some movies don't do that, some movies do. But you also said something where you said like you don't see how someone can get someone out of depression, right, Candace?
Or no, that they just shouldn't be the only reason that you get out of a depression.
True, but like, you know, like, for certain people though, meeting someone who has like their life together and like watching them, that does help them. You know what I mean? So I think it's just different circumstances. And like, I guarantee, like, I know there's movies where I hate that girl, and because I'm like, she's just a prop. She's only used for the guy. But I think to like generalize and say like, oh, this whole trope needs to be banned. No, I don't really necessarily agree with that, because I feel like we do need strong women characters that are like that, who come into people's life for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that like, I think that this trope is used in such different ways that like, it just literally depends exactly, because like every time I've seen it, it has been in a very strong kind of way. Like I said, yeah, of course, Breakfast at Tiffany's, but like, if you think of so another one is Ramona from Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which she is just like, kind of like, it's true that she doesn't necessarily have her own like story arc in the end, but like the story arc is really just about like her going through her life and like trying to figure herself out. And the fact is that like, she's just her, and she's had a lot of like stuff happen to her. and then all of a sudden, because like he wants to be with her, like he has to fight all of these people. And it's like, it is really ridiculous, but at the same time, it's like, it's not because like she has like no dimension. It's the fact that like she has so much dimension that these things happen to her. And so that's like my thing, is that like, I'm sure that there is that stereotype out there. Which is
Zooey Deschanel in I had the name of it, now I'm blanking. What's that TV show she's on?
New Girl.
Yeah. Oh my god, she is just quirky to be quirky. It's like, hey, yeah, look at me, I'm so quirky. That needs to stop, and I like want to kick people.
I love her. I love New Girl.
You can tell, like, she is just quirky to be quirky. I don't feel like it lives in her. I don't feel like all of that is like, oh, I'm
me. But it does, which is why it's so great.
See, anyway. I don't feel like that, because I just feel it's like her putting on being quirky. Kind of like Jennifer Lawrence in her life is putting on being quirky.
Well, you know? Yeah. But anyway, that's a separate topic.
It is.
But you guys brought up a good point. If it's a decent writer who can write characters well, then yeah, it works. But there was, like, in the early 2000s, a series of, like, bad movies with this woman, with this kind of woman that just bothered me.
I will concur with that. Like, a lot of the early 2000 movies were just awful in general. but, like, I just feel like a lot of, I mean, I guess I hate to say this, a lot of guys don't know how to write for women. And that can be true, too, with women not knowing how to write for men either. You know what I mean? You need a balance because, like, everyone has depth to them. Everyone has their own sense of self, you know? So to use a person as a prop or a plot device, that's wrong. But if you use them in a way where they have their own sense of self-worth, they are this character for a reason, then I think that particular trope can be okay.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Yeah. And I think another, so moving on to another trope that we've kind of talked about in this capacity where it's kind of like, well, is it good? Is it bad kind of thing? Is the beautiful all along kind of trope. Which you know, initially is kind of like, this pisses me off. Where it's, I mean, so the thing that like kind of just like brings it all to the edge is, so for example, the what's it called? But it's Rachel.
She's All That?
Yeah, She's All That. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, She's All That. Okay. Where it's this whole thing of like literally just like taking off the glasses, like making your haircut better, and then
slapping on some makeup,
nice dress, and it's just like, oh my god, she's so pretty, and it's like, but she was this before. It's just that she decided to dress herself differently, and so like that is like one of those things where I feel like we've all had kind of this issue with, like, you know, growing up in the time that we have, where it's always been an issue, like the whole like plastic nation, or like just this beauty concept where you have to be a certain way, and if you're not, then you're not. But like the fact is that like there's a whole bunch of people who like could be beautiful, but all you have to do is take off your glasses and then you're beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's not really exactly how that works.
No, like my problem is too, is that they like slightly show them falling in love with the other person, but then it really hits them when they become so beautiful and like all this other stuff.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, like all this time you've been beautiful and I didn't know. And it's just like, but because you didn't like actually decide to like get to know them as themselves.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, what I hate is that, like, they hint at, like, oh, I might like this person's personality, but it's, like, solidifies when they, like, have on that nice dress, that makeup, haircut, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the Princess Diaries. It's, like, you know, like, maybe I should have watched Felicity when I was younger because I had curly hair, but I didn't. But, like, you know, it's like, oh, your hair is too frizzy, too curly. Let's straighten it and make it so much better. And lo and behold, you're so much prettier now. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let's take a trait that a lot of girls have and just make it so ugly. You know? Like, that sounds about right and fair.
But that's the thing, is like it's such like a contradiction, because like when I think of Princess Diaries, like I do think of that in the fact that like it's like, yeah, of course, like you shouldn't have just like changed your entire self for whatever. But at the same time, I get pissed off when her best friend is like, you sold out, you did all this stuff, like blah blah blah, why would you do that? And it's just like, because like I have to. You know, it's just like, it's such a weird thing where it's like you have to like understand the pressures of so many different people that it's almost impossible. Like obviously like the Princess Diaries is like a very like big step because she's a princess, but I'm just saying that like there's a difference between like trying to embrace like who you are as a person and like bring out your attractive traits.
Yeah, but why didn't they just curl their hair? Like, you know what I mean? They could have, like, tamed the frizz down.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's difficult. There's a difficult line there. But it is one of those things where it's just like, what's the difference between, like, making yourself feel confident and making you, like, pretty by society, which it seems to be a very, like, difficult line.
Well, for our society. I don't think it's, like, that difficult, because really they changed her complete look to make her feel confident, whereas she could have felt confident if they just, you know, maybe tamed her hair instead of straightening it all the time. You know what I mean? So it's like, let's take a trait you already have and make you feel beautiful about it. I think that's what it is. It's like, you know, the same thing with, like, what's going on with the Black Panther, which I think is great, is that, you know, you have a lot of African-American girls who are now seeing, like, women having, like, natural hair. And it's like, oh, wow, I can be confident and beautiful with that as well. You know? And it's not saying that, like, oh, we should only have one trait to our hair. It's saying, like, be comfortable as who you are, and then you can change it if you want to, you know, like, have fun with, you know, your hair or, like, your style, but, you know, like, just who you are is pretty too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, I think the big issue with this is just finding that balance between the fact that, like, you're changing something, like, not to like conform to somebody else's, like, standards, but just to like feel better about yourself. Because, like, for example, like, there was this one thing that this one trope I was looking up where for this particular, like, fashion, it was My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where like, you know, Tula, she has, like, you know, kind of like her makeover, and, like, you know, she, you know, starts a new job and all that kind of stuff. And the whole thing is, like, you know, the guy being like, I remember you, like, I don't remember Frump Girl, but I remember you, like, you know, implying that, like, you know, he kind of liked her at the first instance anyway, but, like, talking, like, the people who talked to her, like, the actual, you know, developer of the movie said that, like, it was more about her becoming confident with herself as she as she developed, like, into her own identity outside of, like, her parents' relationship and restaurant. So it wasn't solely about looking pretty so she could catch guys. It was like, this is who I am, and now I feel confident enough to, like, actually go out and do this.
Exactly. So, that's where I think that's great. Whereas I feel like, I don't know, Candace, what do you think? Like, in Princess Diaries, it was making her, like, conform to what society wanted.
Yeah, going back to Big Fat Greek Wedding, she goes back to school too. So that's something else. So it's like, also the education helps her feel like she's, you know, her, that's where her confidence comes from as well, you know. Right. While, yeah, her in Princess Diaries, it feels like her grandmother's, like, not interested in, at least at the beginning, Mia as a person at all. And she does eventually change the way her monarchy is run. But yeah, I think it's just that whole makeover trope too. Like, pretty women, or, like, you know, they do, like, those fashion shows kind of things. That's just something that's really popular in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, for sure. And it's just kind of like one of those things where it's like, even with, and this is kind of going, like, maybe not totally off topic, but just, like, an interesting thing to think of where it's like, so I just recently started watching, the new series of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy or The first episode was, like, basically this guy who kept just saying, like, you can't fix ugly. And it's like this whole, like, atmosphere of just thinking that, like, oh, if you just remove your glasses and take down your hair, like, it'll be fine. And, like, that does not work for everybody. Like, that's not something that, like, or at least that's, like, not something that works for everybody, like, in their minds even, like. And it's just one of those things where it's just like, you have to believe in yourself. You have to be confident for that beauty to arise. And I think that that's what kind of this stereotype, kind of what they were trying to do, but it just has not hit that mark yet.
Okay. So going back to what Vanessa was saying about, like, glasses coming off, hair coming down, I can do that in 20 seconds flat, but becoming confident and having belief in yourself, that takes a long time. So it's kind of like, it's just like a quick fix. And again, it doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah. And so that's the thing is like, I feel like when it comes to that kind of trope, like that's what they're going for is the fact that it's just like about confidence, but they're just not putting that forward because I think they might have been trying for that, but it's just not with today's Hollywood society. Like it's just not the way that goes.
Free.
Yes.
Do you have a trope?
The only tropes I can think of that really do need a change and that like aren't changing as fast as I would like to see is tropes that really just like make one particular person. I'm trying to say it without like offending people.
Oh no.
Now I really want to know what it is.
Same. But I'm scared at the same time.
No, not in that way. It's like, you know, just using stereotypical traits, I think, that like people assume are stereotypical and making people of like other races just playing like one certain part constantly. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, what writers need to start thinking of is just like people as people. And not as a particular like look, if that makes sense.
So you mean like angry black man or like all of these like stereotypical like I'm saying that in
Asian girl, you know what I mean? Like that, all that of those of, like
yes.
I mean they're starting to slowly change, I believe, but like not quick enough. You know what I mean? It's like we really need to. It's like just write for people. You know,
yeah, like people, whenever there's like, you know, oh, it's groundbreaking in diversity or this shows what people are really like. It's like, why can't all movies be like that?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, exactly. For sure.
It's like you know, yeah,
they still made a big deal about like when a black stormtrooper, I mean, Finn in Star Wars, that was a huge deal. It'd be like, why?
Yeah. It's like he's a great actor. He plays the character great. Like, I don't see, like, why he wouldn't have gotten cast. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. Like, he's just written for a person. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that actor happened to do a great job at playing him.
Especially you know? Since it's in space in a galaxy far, far away. And yeah, I can bring Star Wars like into this.
Yeah, futuristic, where it's like, this should not be an issue anymore, so.
They have species issues in Star Wars, right. But there's no race issues.
Yeah.
I would know.
But they do kind of play one with the other, though. Let's just be fair on saying that.
Okay, going into that, let me go into the other trope that I'm kind of tired of seeing.
I know, which I can't wait to argue with you.
Okay, it's the chosen one. It's a plot device that has been used in like every other movie, I feel like. Like the Matrix, Neo is called the one. Mm-hmm. He's the only one who can save us from the machines. Harry Potter's the chosen one as well. There's a prophecy. Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader is supposedly the one, even though reading the full prophecy, which yes, I have read, I'm definitely thinking it's Luke Skywalker instead, but that's just my opinion. But something that like bothered me was, did you guys see Alice in Wonderland, Tim Burton's version?
Yeah.
No. Oh, that's that. Yes. From Brie.
No.
No. Okay, good. But anyway, they made Alice into this warrior hero, and again, she is the chosen one to defeat the Jabberwocky. There was no need for that prophecy chosen one BS.
You well, that the whole movie was an atrocity, like an atrocity, so you know, overall, that movie should just not have been made.
And I think that goes back into like something that people have been trying to deconstruct the whole thing. Like, there's only one person who can save the day. And I like the way the Hunger Games does that. Like, everyone thinks Katniss is their savior, and she's like, hell no, I'm not.
Yes!
Keto, PETA would have been so much better at this.
Yes, like that's the thing. Like I think I love the whole like chosen one kind of thing, and the fact that it's just like, of course, like usually it's somebody who they would, you know, you would never think like would save the day or would like be like, you know, this force to like, you know, but especially like when it comes to Hunger Games and Katniss and everything, like she is quote unquote the chosen one, even though like that's never actually like mentioned, but it's because of the fact that not only is she who she is, but like she's surrounded with the exact right people to make these things happen.
Yeah, it's not just her. Yeah. And that kind of goes into what Last Jedi did, was make Rey not part of this legacy, but she's just someone who can do this and decides to do this. Mm-hmm. I prefer when there isn't this grand scheme with these characters, and they could just be everyday people that we can relate to more and be like, okay, anybody can be a hero.
Here's my argument with that.
Okay.
I think when you're reading, although it can be watching, because, you know, we saw this with like Buffy the Vampire Slayer as well. Mm-hmm. Everyone kind of wants that fantasy, though, that they could be used for something more. You know what I mean? So I feel like especially when you're reading it, you imagine yourself as this grander person. Now, I get what you're saying, though. Like, everyone should feel like they have a shot. And I think that does come normally, like, the quote-unquote chosen one always has a group of people around them that they cannot do anything without. Take, for example, Lord of the Rings.
Frodo.
Thank you.
The five.
Like, Frodo technically was chosen for a grand adventure. However, he couldn't have done it alone. You know what I mean? So I always feel like there is someone for everyone to relate to, because like I myself, like I love Buffy and I love Buffy as a character. You know what I mean? She goes through so many challenges within herself, discovering who she really is and like how can she like be capable of like having this on her shoulders. And like the one good thing is like she's never alone. Like, truly, you know what I mean? Just like Harry Potter. Yeah, he's burdened with it, but he's never truly alone. Well, he was when Ron left him, but, you know, whatever.
Well, no, especially considering, like, he might not have even been the chosen one. Like, it could have been Neville.
Yes.
And in that case, what would have happened? But at the same time, like, is your argument, like, kind of, like, it's not the chosen one, it's the chosen few?
It technically is, because they, no matter what, will meet people to help them along the way. I've never read a book where someone was, quote unquote, the chosen one and only was the only person throughout the book who did anything, or like the story and did anything. You know what I mean? Like, they will come in contact with people who are there to help in some form. You know what I mean?
So I think like what you kind of were implying before, Brie, where it's like it's kind of aggravating that there's like the chosen one, and that's done so often, is the fact that there are people who are actually like, you know, described as the chosen one, like Neo, like Harry Potter, like all that kind of stuff. When it comes to stuff like the Hunger Games and those kinds of things, where it's not like specified as like this is the chosen one, but it's like, obviously these are people that are making things happen, and they're just like regular people. Like that's what makes it okay. Like I get the chosen one as like a trope that you don't really want to see all the time, but at the same time, like that is kind of what drives certain stories forward. But it doesn't have to be that like they are the chosen one. It's just that they happen to be the force that makes something happen.
Yeah, they become the icon in a way.
But yeah, I mean, I get in a way like, yeah, it's overused, but at the same time, I think it's such a strong plot device. And when it's done well, you know what I mean? Like, there are some books and movies where it's not done well, you know, and they, you know, that's all it becomes is about this icon, you know what I mean? So I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, I feel like there needs to be a person who stumbles upon something and it turns into something greater. You know what I mean?
Well, my whole thought is I prefer, because, like, let's go back to Buffy. Let's go back to Harry Potter. They can't escape their destiny. They have to face these people. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's more heroic if they actually had a choice. And I feel like...
But they technically do.
Do they?
Yeah. I mean,
they do, but it's kind of one of those things where it's like, if you...
Well, it'd make them a shitty person if they don't, but it would make anyone a shitty person if they don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I have a choice to, like, you know, to save a lot of people, or I can be a coward. You know what I mean?
But a lot of people do choose the cowardly. Like, I feel like if it was like real life, people would choose like the cowardly kind of thing. Like they wouldn't rise to the occasion. Like, I think that's what makes these things like epic stories, is that these people have chosen over their own lives, basically, like this life that is hard and like sad and trying, and they have chosen it over like what could be potentially maybe shorter, but they have no idea. You know, they have no idea of knowing that. Like, it's literally just like, oh, well, maybe Voldemort will come. I don't know. And then just like, I don't know.
But I think we need stories like that. I think we need, I mean, here we are, a generation raised on like all these movies where we have to rise up and do something. You know what I mean? There is no other way but to fight back. And we're seeing that happen more and more in real life, you know?
But now, so I agree. I agree with like that prospect, because I think that that's like a very noble cause. But I also feel like when it comes to like today's society, it's not just about the chosen one. It's about people who have like faded into the background that can still make a difference. And like, for me, that I feel like should be something that's elevated. And like, there are stories that do that, but I feel like that should be more elevated than people who are just like, well, yeah, hey, most of the stuff is like fallen into place for you and it's a terrible thing, but like, here you go. Whereas like, there are people who actually have to make like serious, horrible decisions. And they can just like that, but they actually like have like a real choice, and they choose to do something that's for the good of the people.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely can agree with that. I just feel like, to say like, you know, one person can't be a force of nature. Like,
oh, no one's saying that it's just one person. It's just saying that having that trope, the cliche, chosen one, that you're destined beforehand to do this, is just overused, and it's not necessary for every young adult novel to have.
No. I will agree movie. With that, but I do feel like some stories need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do feel like there should be a balance, because I feel like you're right. Like, once it became this big thing, then it's like every young adult novel had it. You know,
yeah, and Alice in like, Wonderland right. all of a sudden starts having it, and it's Alice in freaking yeah, Wonderland.
It's just like, it's just like that was like supposed to be an adventure in and of itself, but now it's like, oh, okay, so you're changing the whole story. Okay.
Oh, listen, that movie hurts my soul, and I am a big Tim Burton fan, and that movie ruined my love. Well, I mean, not really, because he came back with big eyes, but still, I digress. That movie is awful.
But okay, I think that's a sad note to end on.
Yeah, you know.
Fantastic.
Well, that's it for today. I'm Candace.
I'm Bree.
I'm Vanessa.
And stay geeky.